In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." That sounds pretty fair, doesn't it? We often say the same thing in different ways. You reap what you sow. You get what you deserve. What goes around comes around. What you dish out to others, that's what God will dish out to you. But such a statement, while it may be eminently fair, is also absolutely terrifying. Think about it. God's going to do to you as you've done to others. Unless you're being dishonest with yourself, that doesn't sound comforting, but threatening. For we know that we've treated others with disrespect or even hostility by our words and actions, even as we confess each week. We know how it is in relationships to prefer taking over giving. We know what it's like when we've been wronged not to want to show mercy, but instead to desire to seek revenge. What we've been measuring out, even if only in our hearts, isn't always good. And even the good we do dish out doesn't always have pure motives attached to it. People often do good because it makes them feel good about themselves, or because they have some sort of self-interest in the matter, or because they hope to put somebody in their debt, or because they hope to get something in return, even if it's a non-material reward like status or prestige. This is the love of the hypocrite about which Jesus speaks. It's a love that sustains itself as long as the other person is responding in the right way. But as soon as the other doesn't respond appropriately, then it is quick to judge and condemn. After all I've done for you, this is the thanks I get. It sees others' specks of sawdust and misses its own 2x4s. It easily identifies the neighbor's flaws, but is unable to recognize its own inherent lovelessness. It is a truism of humanity that we tend to project our shortcomings onto others. We recognize most easily in others the evil that we ourselves are all too familiar with personally. In the verses just before today's gospel, Jesus tells us the depth of what is required of us. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Such words, even the words that continue in our gospel lesson today, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful, such words must crush us, for we have no strength whatsoever to keep or fulfill them. We have no power of ourselves to be sons of the Most High. But if such words do crush us, then that, my friends, is good. For our Heavenly Father is one who crushes us so that He might pick us up and put us back together, who accuses us so that He might forgive us, who strikes us dead so that He might raise us up. Not that He is pleased when we are brought low, but our God is like a good surgeon who does not hesitate to cut into us so that He might heal us. He brings us to nothing in order that He might recreate us in Christ. That is why our Heavenly Father sends His Son into our flesh, For Jesus comes not merely to show us how we should be, not to give us a standard to live up to, but in order to bear our sin and redeem us and be our very life. So our Lord takes into Himself our human flesh and blood. He endures our unmercifulness and suffers the judgment we deserve, so that He might give us His mercy and take us out from under judgment. Our Lord Jesus comes not to demand that we get better, but to give us His betterment, to do what we are unable to do, to live and die and rise again, so that He Himself might live and arise daily within us. There is the mercy of the Heavenly Father toward us. Although He doesn't have to be, He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love forever. He has lived and done it all for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He plants it within us fully and freely through preaching and the sacraments. Our Father put to death His own Son and raised Him again so that we might be forgiven and restored to Him, so that we might have a new life in Him, and so that the Son of God Himself might live and breathe and do His work within us and through us. Only in Christ, then, are the words of the Gospel fulfilled. Only in Christ are we the sons and daughters of the Most High. For earlier in the Gospel of Luke, we hear this announcement to the Blessed Virgin: "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Jesus is the Son of the Most High with a capital S, baptized into His body, living in Him by faith. We are sons of the Most High with a small S. Apart from Christ, God is not our Father. In Christ, however, we truly are children of God. With this understanding, the words of Jesus are no longer accusing demands, but simply a description and portrayal of our life in Him. Love for the enemy is the way of the baptized, because it is the way of Christ, with whom we are one. Blessing those who curse you is the way of Jesus' disciples, for He said on the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." We do good to those who hate us and pray for those who spitefully use us, because that is the way of faith. It requires faith to believe that God will carry out His justice in the end on those who do evil against us. It requires faith to let go of your desire for vengeance, to forgive and to entrust the whole situation to God, holding to His words, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." It requires faith to believe that your enemy is also a candidate for God's mercy just like you, that Christ bore your enemy's sins on the cross too. Our Lord felt that vengeance for us all. Therefore it is written, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." Show mercy, do good to your enemy. That is what baptized children of God do. Perhaps the heart of your enemy will be turned by your kindness, and he will no longer be your enemy. But even if he does not turn, his punishment will only be intensified for rejecting the mercy you show, which is none other than the very mercy of Christ, who dwells in you. Is this not exactly how our Heavenly Father acts toward the world? It is written, "He is kind to the unthankful and evil." And again, "He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." God the Father is no respecter of persons, and He gives His earthly blessings freely to all, regardless of their worthiness. He does not let His goodness dry up because of people's depravity. The unthankful will indeed ultimately get what's coming to them. But in the meantime, people's wickedness will never reach the point where he lets the wall of his goodness or the well of his goodness and care dry up. That's also how it is for you who are in Christ and are the children of the Father's household. Do not be so filled with anger that you draw back the hand of blessing as the world does and say, everything I do for that degenerate is lost. That is not for you to say. You may rebuke him and point out his wrongdoing and sin. Jesus nowhere forbids that. You may, if the case warrants it, refer the matter to the civil authorities whom God has given the responsibility of judging and punishing. You, however, baptized children of God, should not withdraw your helping hand, but rather say, this person may have offended me. He may have wronged me. I may never get any thanks from him, but in spite of his ingratitude, I will not cease from doing good to him, because I know that evil will not go unpunished, and I will retain a gentle, compassionate heart, ready to assist and help. Now to the world, this will seem weak and foolish. It will often appear to be the defeat of the good and the triumph of the wicked. But the world cannot see the things of the world from God's eternal perspective, nor can it grasp the way of the cross. It is written, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. God has chosen foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty. On the cross, our Lord appeared to suffer his worst and most utter defeat. The powers of darkness seemed to have won the day, and yet in that moment of perfect weakness, Christ demonstrated his greatest power. There in that ultimate demonstration of love, Christ won an eternal victory, triumphing forever and ever over sin and death and the devil. For us, he is not a quid pro quo sort of love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. His is a love that the world can neither understand nor produce. A self-sacrificial love with a view beyond this temporal world. A greater love marked by forgiveness and generosity to the undeserving. Living in Christ and in the reality of his cross, we repay no one evil for evil, but overcome evil with good, with forgiveness and generosity and a willingness to suffer if need be. For Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. That teacher, Jesus, has given himself to us wholly, so that we may be like him, and so that these words of his might be fulfilled for us. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. Such is the abounding love of God. It's beyond measure. It's always spilling over, and it is here for you today in grain, in the grain which is his body, and in the cup that runs over with his mercy, which is his very blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Through faith in Christ, you are. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.